From the miles of my nautical heart and the heart of my dog's nudicles, you're listening to Dave's Gone By on the station that serves your community, AM 1240 WGBB Freeport. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every cover of day, whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, everybody, on this Sunday night, September 16th, 2007, to the 238th episode of Dave's Gone By. How many episodes is that? Is that enough episodes? No, because it's never enough episodes of Dave's Gone By. Even if we had, oh, I don't know, let's say 8 is enough. There's a little hint of what we've got on the show tonight. But first, before I tell you about that and all the stuff we're going to be doing, let me tell everybody that my guest co-host for this episode, back from the wilds of Costa Rica, is my good friend, Jeffrey Goodman. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Dave, I'm really concerned. Your dog has nudicles?
Well, he wishes, because, you know, he doesn't have anything at the moment. He's a male dog, and they took his things away. So we're saving up, and we're going to try and get him a nice pair of nudicles. It's a little pricey, but we want him to make him feel like a good macho dog, because he does have dominance issues. We have two dogs at home, and they jockey for who's the top dog, as it were. I figure the one with the best set of plastic nudicles or whatever they make them out of, would have a leg up, as it were.
Isn't one a girl?
No. No, see, that's why they both need nudicles. They might as well be, as it were. Anyway, very glad to have you here.
Have you said something disheartening about women? Women?
What's that?
They don't have, because women don't have nudicles?
Well, they got other stuff down there.
What do they got?
I'll tell you after midnight. When the FCC isn't listening. I'll give you a science lesson, a biology lesson. You might enjoy it, might not.
Well, I don't know. We did get a biology lesson, sort of, last hour.
Yeah, we were here for the previous hour playing some stuff off YouTube, and the best thing we found was this commercial, real honest-to-God commercial. I don't know where
it
aired.
From, like, the 60s, yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
And it was this girl going into the bathroom where her mommy was...
Her mother was in the bathroom with her panties pulled around.
Right.
Showing her...
Well, she didn't show anything. She showed her tampon with blood on it, and she was explaining to the little girl.
No, she put it off herself.
Oh.
Sitting on the toilet and saying, here's my tampon.
To this
not the tampon, her sanitary pad.
Her pad. That would be even worse with the tampon. Then you just wait for, like, the moment, like... Actually, you could do that better. Do that again. Much better. That's a good tampon removal sound right there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. That's its own sound effect. I love it. Anyway, how did we get there? I don't even know.
Well, we were talking about nudicles.
Nudicles and sanitary pads and sponsors. Let's go right to our sponsors. Get that out of the way. Our fine sponsors include Performing Arts Insider Theater
Magazine. The Bible of Broadway?
Super absorbent. Journal that comes to your home.
We also learned that now that we have toilet paper, we don't have to use it for wiping off buttocks.
That's right. We can use magazines the way they used to do old catalogs. If you really must use Performing Arts Insider, it's a rather expensive toilet paper.
But it's very absorbent.
Yeah, well, it's made from good paper. So when you're finished using it at the end of the month, when the issue is done for you and you get the new issue in the mail, you don't have to throw it out. You don't have to just store it.
You can recycle it yourself.
That's it. There you go. But during the month of its usage, it's a tremendously useful magazine.
You know, it's really useful information all during the month. And then after the month is over, it's nice to wipe your crap with Broadway and off-Broadway.
And half the shows will be closed by then anyway. How do you get Performing Arts Insider?
How do you get Performing Arts Insider?
Go to performingartsinsider.com to get the information. And remember that Dave's Gone By listeners get a year subscription, 21 issues for $200.
Why are there only 21 issues in a year?
Well, to be honest, instead of just bi-weekly, which was the initial idea, they figured certain months are less busy on Broadway than others. So there's really no point in putting two issues out in December or two issues out in July and August. But then the rest of the year, every month gets two issues. So it's $200.
Did September warrant two issues?
Oh, yeah. September's big because all that stuff is coming up in October. Anyway, PerformingArtsInsider.com. Let's get to our other sponsors. We've got MortgagesRock.com.
They do, don't they?
They do. And why do they rock, Jeff?
Because you can make mortgage, you can make money by helping your friends, relatives, or just strangers. Passerbys on the street get a mortgage. You can get to go to the website, and it's chock full of education.
Chock full. So if you find a guy named Chuck, you can get him a mortgage. Well, not just mortgages, but loans for whatever the friend, the people in your lives, the friends need. MortgagesRock.com. They'll train you to be a broker. And we're going to thank Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway.
Oh, you know why I love them so much?
Why do you love them so much?
Because they're right across from Loman. And right next to the new Loman shoe store.
Not that new anymore, but it's a recent, right next to the recent Loman
shoe
store.
But you just can't get enough new Loman shoes.
Pretty much not. And you can't get enough of Hewlett Minuteman
Press. Well, once you get the shoes, you copy them.
On their new color copier.
That's right.
And Dave's Got My Listeners get 10% off any job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Unless you go there on a Sunday, then you get 30% off.
Well, because they're closed. You have to smash a window. You can get everything off because you smash the window. But you have to learn how to plug everything in and work the copier, so it's not really worth it.
And as we know, no one can work the copier.
Except the great folks at Hewlett Minuteman Press. And finally, thank you to our sponsor, Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
What do they do for you?
Well, they do parties. They create the look and feel of your party by doing balloon decorations, big archways, and the centerpieces on your table.
Do they make my party look spectacular?
They can. They can indeed.
Will they?
I think they would promise to do that, especially if you told them they were a Dave's Gone By listener. Did Dave's Gone By listeners get any kind of break at Fantasy Show?
That was my next question to you.
Oh, I guess they might, but you're a little closer to the company than I am.
I don't know. They haven't talked to me in a long time.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, if you want to talk to Fancy Schmancy Balloons, give them a call at 516-797-3229.
And you ask them what they can do for you.
If
and like, how much else they're going to get, and what you get for free.
Yeah. 797-3229, area code 516.
What was that number again?
For all your party needs, 516-797-3229. For Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
And I actually hear they have helium, where most of the people on Long Island do not.
Did you read that story?
Everyone.
That story out. My family was very nice. I went to my folks for Rosh Hashanah, and they said, oh, your friend Jeff would really be into this. Is this a problem for him? Where's the helium? How can we be short of helium? How's that possible?
They kind of cut us off at the helium supply.
But it's in the air.
No, it's not in the air. It's in caves in New Mexico.
Is it really?
Yeah, because if it were in the air, it would be up. It's lighter than air.
Well, all right. Well, they got oxygen.
No,
they
but that's...
oxygen tank.
No, but helium is an element,
yeah,
which is lighter than oxygen. So all helium does is go up. So you'd never find helium at ground level.
So it's trapped in caves because it can't go up any higher?
That's where it's in caves.
So those people who were miners, they were looking for helium?
Well,
it's so dark in here, I can't find it.
Well, they wouldn't be talking like that. They'd be talking like, you know.
Where's the helium? I can't find it.
I don't know.
I wish that someone would help. The parrot just died. The canary. Oh, no. We are the lollipop miners. The lollipop miners. We're going to die. But anyway, sorry about that. So, but helium has not been a problem for you, or what? Or is the price too
high? I have plenty of helium. Because I knew the shortage was coming, so I filled up all my tanks.
Good for you.
For the memories.
So, folks, you can still get your balloons filled with helium.
For $300 a dozen. No, I'm only kidding.
Fancy schmancy balloons.
Now you go to Party City, they won't blow up balloons for you anymore.
What do you mean? You're supposed to blow them up yourself? Or just lie on the ground?
They won't inflate them. They say they have no helium.
That's hysterical. Well, I guess I have to do... Well, that's the thing. You do other things. You do centerpieces.
So boo on them for giving that lost leader of balloons for years.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God.
But the price of helium has skyrocketed.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Everything. What hasn't? Now George Bush, George Bush will say, "Oh, I just have this brilliant idea. Let's make cars run on helium.
That's right.
It'll be cheap. It'll be easy to produce. You know. It's true. It won't be as flammable. At least that much.
That's right.
Anywho, we are inflamed here at Dave's Gone By tonight.
We're like
so
one big hemorrhoid.
In a manner of speaking. And you know why? Because we have wonderful things to do on this episode.
What do we have to do?
Well, first of all, we have Inside Broadway, as we do almost every week.
I love Inside Broadway.
Well, we're theater people. We're theater critics. We love the theater. So we talk about the big Broadway stuff that's happening in the news. I'm also going to spend a minute or two talking about a show that I saw last week called Edge, which is a biography of Sylvia Plath, the poet. And that's why I'll only spend a minute or two on that. Exactly. And then, also, we're going to talk to Jeff for a little while about his trip to Costa Rica, which was just about a week ago, not even. So,
I returned on Tuesday.
Returned on Tuesday from the lovely land of the Rica up coast. So we'll definitely hear how his trip was. But also, the big news. The hell with it. I'm going to tell it now.
Let me divine it. We have a very special guest star.
Yes, we do.
A guest, I'm sorry. And he has been starring in many TV shows.
Well, yeah, actually. He starred in one or two TV shows and co-starred and guest-starred in dozens over the years. He was also, since we're theater people, in something like 27 Broadway shows in a row at the very beginning of his career. It's like he kept working.
None of which was successful.
Oh, no, this was the days when shows ran 3 months and they were fine. I mean, it was when he was kind of a child actor and a child star. Back then, he was known as Dickie Van Patten.
Now, he gave away the hint, so it is. I was going to say, it's Dick Van what?
Well, no, we don't have Dick Van. There's two Dick Vans. And I wouldn't want to open the trunk to see them all fall out, but you know.
No, you wouldn't want to open up your, you wouldn't take your finger out of the dike.
No, we don't have Dick Van Dyke. I would love to have Dick Van Dyke on the show. But we have the next...
But we just didn't step in time. That was the problem.
Well, he's still around. It might happen.
I know.
But we have instead Dick Van Patten.
So, and Dick Van Dyke, this is your open invitation.
Yeah. And Mary Tyler Moore. And Maury Amsterdam, except he's dead, so he'd be a very bad guest.
No, but how about Rhoda? Valerie Parfer.
What about, yeah, I interviewed her once.
She's
very
like
nice.
Her.
Yeah. She was doing some show about... No, it wasn't Frida Kahlo. Whatever. No, she was fine. I've talked to Rhoda. I've also... No, I didn't talk to Cloris Leachman.
I talked to Rhoda's mother.
In real life?
Yeah.
Who's that?
I forget her name now. She was in the original On the Town.
Rhoda... Not Cloris Leachman.
No.
Oh, Nancy Walker.
Yeah.
How was she?
Lovely.
Yay. Okay, we've got to move on.
Okay.
Got to move on. But no, that
now that we finished the cast of the Calvin Nets.
Yeah, right. Come on, it's already 14 after 11. We've got so much to do. We never have enough time for this
okay.
stuff. But I want to tell the news
tell us about
now,
Little Dickie.
I'm not going to save it until... No, it's not about Dick Van Patten.
Oh.
It's about this show and some other things involving this show. This is going to save until close to 12, but I want to get people while they're still somewhat awake if we haven't put them to sleep yet. First of all, bunch of things. For one... If you want to hear a little bit more of what I do on this radio station, they brought back a show that I was doing 2 or 3 years ago called Filler Up, and that's pretty much an entirely music show. It's the exact opposite of Dave's Gone By. I play all sorts of eclectic music, rock, folk, jazz, blues, pop. It's all mixed up. Sometimes a show is dedicated to some artist's birthday. Sometimes it's something in the news or a particular holiday. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's Filler Up, and it airs on, at the moment, I'm sorry I'm laughing, but this is fantastic. I wish I had the video camera going. Jeff stood up to get some water, and his pants magically lowered. Thank goodness he's wearing briefs. I hate to be laughing, but you know, it was a kind of a Borat Azamat moment there. And just the pants, as he's walking to get the water, lowering and lowering, and suddenly the moon is out. Wow. I'm stunned. But anyway, you'll be stunned too if you listen to Filler Up on Thursday nights at 9:30. That may change. And they also might play the show a couple of other times during the week when some hosts might not get to show up or whatever reason. But definitely at the moment, Thursday nights, 9:30, listen for a half hour of eclectic music on Filler Up on WGBV AM 1240 with me picking the music that I'm playing. But that's fairly small news. More big news involves television. This show...
Now you can see, Dave.
Yeah. We're going to be recording some of our new shows, and since almost every episode of Dave's Gone By has been put on compact disc, we've decided to bring that to local television. So on Friday mornings at 7:30...
7:30 a.m.?
7:30 a.m. You gotta rise. Well, all these people are gonna be going to work.
It's rise and shine with Dave.
Pretty much. Well, yeah, think about it. People will be up if they're on their way but haven't quite left for work yet. I think it's a perfect time.
You and can kids, see, if you want to say you're sick from school,
right,
turn it on.
Forget Elmo, forget Big Bird. Come see me and sometimes Jeff and sometimes the other stars who are on Dave's Gone By. It's called Dave's Gone By on TV. It starts the first week of October, October 5th, on Friday mornings, 7:30 in the morning, a half hour. Sometimes it'll be actual live footage, or not live, but footage recorded in the studio of recent programs. Sometimes we're just going to take some of the older vintage episodes, and we'll have some visuals. We'll take some pictures and put them up there. Be kind of fun. So Dave's Gone By on TV Friday mornings at 7:30, but that's not our only news.
You know what's very exciting about that, Dave?
What?
You can get nominated for an Emmy Award now.
If it's on Long Island Cable Channel 20 Public Access?
Local cable.
Oh, boy! Well, I'm excited about that, but I'm even more excited about a program that I'm co-writing and directing that airs Wednesday mornings at 7:30. See, we're trying to co-opt the morning slots on Channel 20 of local Woodbury Cablevision of Long Island TV. Shalom Dammit is coming to your airwaves starting October 3rd. Every Wednesday morning at 7:30, Rabbi Saul Solomon...
And it'll be kicked off the air October 4th.
It is Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, which starts on Wednesday, October 3rd on Long Island Channel 20, Public Access. So, don't miss it. I've gotten some good feedback on it, you know, from directing and co-writing it. The rabbi's been, well, difficult, as the rabbi tends to be, but also I think he's doing a darn good show. If you want to see clips of
it... You know what's excellent about that?
What?
It debuts right after Yom Kippur.
Exactly. Right after, I kind of wish it were a little earlier. We could have gotten the Rosh Hashanah going, but this is when Cablevision starts its new season, the first week of October. So don't miss Shalom Dammit.
And when do they start canceling?
Wednesday morning, 7:30 for Shalom Dammit. Friday morning, 7:30 for Dave's Gone By on TV. And if you're really curious, we have a couple of episodes of Shalom Dammit already on YouTube. You have to cut things up for YouTube because they only allow like 5-minute segments now and 100 megabytes. But you can watch full episodes in segments on YouTube just by searching out Shalom Dammit. And finally, if that weren't enough, I'm taking up the whole show just talking about news of this show. But the other great news is that next Saturday at 9 p.m.
Joyce gives birth.
Well, she helped me give birth to a couple of these TV shows. But, no, WGBB is going to have a rather quickly thrown together impromptu special about the fall theater season. It's the WGBB Fall Theater Special. I will be hosting, and do not miss it. It's an hour from 9 to 10 next Saturday on WGBB AM 1240. We're going to be talking about The Little Mermaid, Young Frankenstein.
Do you want to have any guests?
Well, we're going to try and get some guests. I literally found out about this yesterday.
Oh.
So it's a little quick on the draw, but certainly going to try and find a couple of people to talk to about the upcoming
Broadway
season.
So that means Cablevision and JBB are getting very desperate, huh?
If I'm getting much more airplay and video play, you know people must be gravitating to, I don't know, satellite or something. But anyway, all this stuff. So you've got the theater special next Saturday at 9 on this radio station. You've got the two shows on cable TV. You've got Filler Up also on the station. And hey, you got Dave's Gone By right here, right now, and Inside Broadway coming up after this message.
There's no getting rid of you, Dave.
What's black and white and red all over? photocopies made at Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. Any job that you have, including black and white copies, and they've got a brand new color copier, great quality, good prices, wonderful family that has owned Hewlett Minuteman Press since the 1970s. So check them out, 516-569-5577, Hewlett Minuteman Press. They're the kings. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. La 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 la.
Yes, la, 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 la.
Inside Broadway, ladies and gentlemen.
La 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 la.
Okay, we kind of have to move this through this kind of quickly, but
let's move through this quickly.
A few big stories in Broadway news. By the way, today was the Broadway on Broadway concert.
Yes, it was.
Did you didn't go to that or
no? But my friend Molly did.
And how was it? Did you talk to her? Did she say how it was?
Well, Molly is first of all a man.
Okay. Oh, you said, I thought you said Molly. All right, Wally. How did Wally like it?
I don't know. He said, the last I heard, he goes, I gotta go. It's 11:30. It starts at 11:30. I said, how are you gonna get there? You know, Subway.
Oh, okay? Great. I think Lang Spass was going to be there. He's in Hairspray now, and he was going to, like, MC or something like that. So hopefully
yes.
That went well. But as far as things are coming up on Broadway, She Sells Seagulls. The she in this case
good
is going to be Kristin Scott Thomas of the English Patient fame. She is going to be in a version of Chekhov's The Seagull. It's a new adaptation by Christopher Hampton. He's the guy who did the Dangerous Liaisons adaptation. And it's an English production. The Royal Court Theatre did it. So Kristin Scott Thomas is going to be probably doing it on Broadway this coming spring. And it's kind of a big season for The Seagull, because right now at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, Ian McKellen's been getting some pretty wonderful reviews doing that play. Also coming back to the theater, off-Broadway, in fact, the lovely and talented Mary Louise Parker will be starring in a play called Dead Man's Cell Phone at Playwrights Horizons in February. She'll be joined by Kathleen Chalfant, best known for Wit, and Parker, of course, won a Tony for Proof.
What a great cast. Huh?
Yeah, well, Parker's really known now for the cable show she does called Weeds. So she's going to take a little break to an off-Broadway show called Dead Man's Cell Phone. It's all really cool. It's like an almost Hollywood plot. You can bet that if it's any good at all, they will sell this to the movies immediately, because a woman is in a restaurant and she answers the cell phone of a dead man that's ringing. So high concept for a play. Anyway, oh, and on Playwrights Horizon schedule before that will be a show called A Feminine Ending, and that stars Marsha Mason and Richard Mazur, and that starts just a couple of weeks from now in October.
It's Richard Mazur, not Richard Mazur?
I used to call him Mazur, but I think I was wrong. Richard, if you're listening, please give us a call at the station.
Well, listen, at 888-8811.
Yeah, and let's see what else is happening off-Broadway. Oh, yes, I love this when this happens. Someone who's been on the show has a big show coming up. Jim Nabley, who is the lead singer and one of the writers and musicians in the group The Randy Bandits, who were on our show, made some really good music about a year and a half ago. Well, Nabley is also a playwright, and he's written a kind of fantasy story called Spain that will be opening October 30th at the Manhattan Class Company Theater, the MCC Theater, down on, I think they're still on West 28th Street, or they might be itinerant or playing at Playwrights Horizon Theater or something.
But they're opening on my birthday.
Oh, October. Well, happy birthday. And, by the way, appearing in Spain will be Annabella Sciorra. She was Emmy nominated for her work on The Sopranos. She was also in Jungle Fever, plus some real theater people in it. Lisa Krohn, the author of Well, and Vianne Cox, who, yeah, everybody loves Vianne Cox from Company and from all the things she's done off and on Broadway over the years. And that's the story of a woman who retreats into a fantasy life after her divorce, and she ends up meeting a Spanish conquistador.
Don't they all?
So much for, well, that's fantasy, and that's Jim Nabley's play, so go see it. Support the people who appear on this program. It's called Spain. It's going to be at MCC Theater at the very end of October. Now,
and you can buy your tickets now.
Now, here's I purposely included this for you, Jeff, because I know you're always so interesting. You always bring it up. The show that's coming to Broadway, the comedy, the Terrence McNally revival,
I love it. I can't wait for this.
Okay, The Ritz. The Ritz is coming to Broadway, but they're having a little bit of trouble. They had to replace an actor. Ashley Atkinson has replaced Carolyn Aaron, so they had to push forward the first preview one day. Nobody cares about this, but I thought I would bring it for your thing, because I know how excited you are about this show. Now you know. And
I'm very excited for Ashley Atkinson.
Good. I'm glad. Now, before we get to my review of Edge, one last thing. There's a show that was supposed to come to Broadway. They wanted to bring it to Broadway, but apparently it was too controversial. It's called Jerry Springer, the Opera.
It's not coming anymore?
Well, they promised, and then they realized it wasn't going to happen. It played a little regionally. It played in other countries. But for some reason, New York was not ready for Jerry Springer, the Opera. Until now, coming for two nights only, January 29th through 30th, the opera is going to play a concert version at Carnegie Hall. So, of all things, the last place on earth you would expect the story of Jerry Springer to be told, Carnegie Hall, well, there it is. Other than that, there's no plans for the show on Broadway or whatever, but at least we're going to get to see it, which is apparently a very acclaimed and interesting and wild piece. Well, going to get to my review of Edge, but first we're going to do a little sponsor thank you to Performing Arts Insider, the sponsors of Inside Broadway.
Let's start at the very beginning.
Whether you're at the very beginning, the middle, or the end of the Broadway season, everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance is in the pages of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, available 21 times a year or just in the monthly edition. Either way, Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off. So subscribe now to Performing Arts Insider and find out all the information at PerformingArtsInsider.com.
I'll make it easier for you.
Thank you for making it easier for us, Rebecca Luker. She, by the way, was also someone who appeared on this program on our Tony Award special.
As did her husband.
In the previous year, that's right. Her husband... Oh, help me here. Oh, no! He plays Aldolfo. He's still in there. He's still on Broadway in the Drowsy Chaperone. Oh, I'm so sorry, Rebecca. I'm so sorry, Mr. Rebecca.
Don't call him Mr. Luker.
Well, yeah, right. Anyway. Speaking of sorry...
It's a very Jewish name, too.
I spent a sorry 2.5 hours in the theater a week ago to see a very good performance in a play I just didn't really want to see. I was reviewing it, and it's a one-woman show that actually played 3-4 years ago off-Broadway and was so acclaimed and got such good notices that they brought it back. It's the actress Angelica Thorne appearing in a play about...
Oh, she's such a good actress.
She's a very good actress. And interesting to watch to a point, even in this play called Edge, which is about the life and not very happy times of poet Sylvia Plath. Plath, of course, the author of The Bell Jar, and after she died... Her husband collected her poems into the compilation Ariel. And so, well, what we most know about Plath is that she was miserable, she was unhappy. Some of it, a lot of it, stemming from her marriage to poet Ted Hughes, who kind of subsumed her and also kind of beat her.
What did he do to her?
Well, in other words, everything had to be about him. Because, hey, he's the man. And so it was his career, his life, what he wanted to do. And meanwhile, he was not exactly the most faithful person in the world, nor, I guess, the kindest and gentlest person in the world. And she was not the most stable woman in the world either. So one thing that I guess we ought to remember is that even though he, on some level, may have driven her to suicide, she had tried suicide a couple of times even before she met him. So she was already a little off the deep end. And Sylvia Plath?
Is he still alive?
Oh, no, Hughes died not too long ago. And actually, one of the interesting things that I did not know, that I found out in the play, is that Hughes remarried after Sylvia Plath killed herself. And he married a woman, in the same way. Killed herself, killed her kid, turned on the oven.
Wow.
I mean, is that goofy? Maybe 7 years later.
Maybe they didn't kill themselves.
Oh,
here's something for thought.
I will tell you, the playwright of Edge...
Let me ask you something. When you were in the audience, did you kind of think of ovens?
Well,
turning on the oven? Did you think of turning on the oven while you were watching the play?
Because I was so... well, it was interesting to a point, but first of all, a solo show, is a one-woman show, you figure 90 minutes, 80 minutes, that's a kind of an ideal time for a show.
Yes.
In fact, in 90, you want an intermission in there. This was... The first act was about 80 minutes long. It started late.
Oh, good God.
And then a 25-minute intermission...
Which time most of the people dashed out of
with
the theater.
With no set change. So I don't know what the... And not much in the way of a costume change. And then another hour more. So the show, we were told, would end just after 10. It ended closer to 10:30. And that makes a big difference when you're not all that into it to begin with, let me tell you. And so, I mean, I just didn't feel for her that much. She had a terrible relationship with her father, who was really cold, and she has her own problems, and she talks aimlessly about them. And it's not like she's very lugubrious. A lot of the times, she's ironic.
You are using so many big words in this review.
Well, okay. Well, I want to talk loquaciously about a poet, about a versifier. She brings out the lengthy verbiage in me, as you can see. Doesn't make me a better critic. It just
makes you more pompous.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So, and well, I'm not going to be pompous about the show. Skip it. Angelica Torrin is a very, very good actress, and there are certain things. I mean, there are moments when she's physical in a way like you'll be watching her, and then she's talking about one of her pregnancies. She ends up having two kids, and I swear to God, she doesn't stick a pillow anywhere. She goes from being just this woman, Sylvia Plath, to being 8 months pregnant, Sylvia Plath, just by the way she holds her hips and her hands and pulling her stomach out. I would absolutely swear, oh, my God, this is a pregnant woman. And when she has moments like that, I'm very impressed by the actress.
She's an amazing actress.
But I just wanted to be away from her. And there was a point when Ted Hughes or his new wife called her and said, oh, you know, just do it already. Because he knew she was suicidal. And I have to say, when that clock started ticking past 10:10, I was like, okay, come on, Angelica. Just tell us about put the oven on.
That's like when we saw... Do you remember seeing the musical of Anna Karenina at Circle in the Square?
That was better.
Yeah, yeah. But it was so long. It was so long. You're going, go for the train tracks already.
That's right.
Or isn't it a train coming on?
Oh, well. Oh, well. So I cannot... It's playing until October 6th. So if you want to prove me wrong or you really have a love of her poetry, I'm sure like all these teenage women with problems and pimples will go see it and love it because they just want to wallow in her pain.
It's but an I can't angst without filled it. Show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, angst for the memories. And angst very much to Performing Arts Insider for sponsoring this segment, Inside Broadway. We'll be right back with a real Broadway person and a television person, too, Dick Van Patten, right after this.
Ooh.
We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, and very happy to have a special guest for all the folks who think that this program somehow has something to do with nostalgia. They hear the name of the show, Dave's Gone By, and they think of Days Gone By, and they think that's where we're at. It's all about nostalgic stuff. And it really isn't, although since this show is about every sort of thing, sometimes it can be. So we're very excited, very happy. Like a week ago, we had the actor-director Robbie Benson on the program, and now we have another person whom everybody is going to know from watching their TVs, and also, I guess, from going to the theater if you went back 20, 30 years or so. His name is Dick Van Patten. Of course you know him. You know him from Egg Is Enough, and I can't thank you enough for being on Dave's Gone By tonight. How are you, Dick?
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm fine, thank you.
Good, 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 good. I mean, you've been well, things have been healthy, you've been working?
Yes. Yeah, never stop working. It gotta work.
Well, pretty much, yeah. I mean, you were working since the age of 7. Is that correct?
The first Broadway show I was in, I was 7 years old. It was called Tapestry in Gray at the Schubert Theater on 44th Street, and I played Melvin Douglas, the son. You remember Melvin Douglas?
Melvin Douglas from Being There. People might know him from that movie more than anything else, but yeah. Now, when you were 7, do you even have any memories of appearing in that show?
I remember very well, yes, I remember. But when I meet seven-year-old kids today, I can't believe that I did what I did at that age. It really amazes me. I did 27 shows in a row on Broadway.
Oh, my God.
Growing up. Yeah.
And back then you were known as Dickie Van, Little Dickie Van Patten. That was your...
Yeah, Dickie Van Patten, mm-hmm.
So did you do 8 shows a week back then, or did they split with another kid?
No, 8 shows a week. 2 matinees and 6 evening performances.
How did you get schooled?
Well, I went to a school called Professional Children's School.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of kid actors went there. Milton Berle went there. You know, Milton Berle was a child actor. He went there. And a lot of famous people went there. And they excused you if you had a matinee or an audition. They excused you. Or if you went on the road with the show, you did your work by correspondence. And it was good. It worked out okay.
Well, yeah, it worked out great for you. But did you ever feel... I mean, now we see all these celebrity actresses who can't seem to handle a lot of money and a little bit of fame. And, you know, because I guess they're always working and they don't have time to themselves or life to themselves. I can't imagine with you having to do full 8 performances a week of Broadway shows, one after the other, and a full complement of schoolwork. I mean, did you ever feel like going crazy, or was it all just...
No.
You know, no.
I had wonderful parents, you know.
Yeah.
And they always told me, you're only as cute as the show. You're only as popular as the show that you're in, and you're only as cute, you know, until the show's over. And, so that's what they used to tell me. So I never expected too much. It was a wonderful childhood.
I can imagine.
I traveled all over the world, all over the country. I worked with the most fascinating people.
I'm kind of curious, especially, again, moving back to the child years of being 7 and 10 and 14 and appearing one after another in these shows. Was it tough when a show would close? Or to you weren't really part of that where all the adults are worried about their next job and they're crying and they're saying goodbye?
Sorry? One show closed, I would go right into another. It was amazing. I spent my whole childhood working. I was never out of work for more than like 2 or 3 weeks at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happened when, I guess, you hit a certain age and your voice changed and you got bigger? I mean, there's, according to the Internet Broadway database, you did a show called Oh, Mistress Mine back in 1947.
That was for 4 years. I was with Lawton Fontaine. I played Lawton Fontaine's son. And I got it when I was 16, 17, 18, and 19.
Oh.
2 years on Broadway and 2 years on the road.
What were they like?
4 years.
What were Lawton Fontaine? Yeah, how? How were they wonderful?
Well, they were like parents to me. I learned a lot from them, too. I really did.
Such a
great experience.
What did you learn from them?
Well, I learned not to overact, to always be on time, and a great discipline from them, you know?
Good. Cool. But then what happened, because they said that there was almost a 15-year gap before you got back to Broadway again, apparently, with Have I Got a Girl for You?
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
Television came along in 1949, and I went right into a TV series called I Remember Mama.
Oh.
That was on for 9 years, and I played the part of Nels, the son Nels, you know.
Wow. Now, what did you think after doing all that theater, how did television compare for you back then?
Well, it was easier, I think. Although you had to learn new lines every week. But other than that, I think it was easier.
Cool.
I loved it.
And as you said, you did I Remember Mama for about 9 years. And then...
1949 to 1958.
Wow.
Starring Peggy Wood. And a lot of your listeners, the older ones, will remember this show very well.
Oh, sure. And I'm sure it's somewhere popping up on some cable nostalgia channel as well. They always do at this point.
Well, I don't think so, because that was a live show.
Oh.
That live every Friday night. So I don't think they had it. I don't think you'll see that anymore.
Huh.
You know?
Was it really, I mean, people tend to wax nostalgic for those who were there back then of the 1950s being the golden age of television. Was it? Or are they just rose-colored glasses?
Well, I loved it. I mean, all the TV was from New York then, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I was on I Remember Mama was the top show on CBS. It was ahead of Arthur Godfrey, ahead of Ed Sullivan. It was the number one show on the air for CBS.
Wow.
And so it was really fun. And they got a lot of recognition. You know, people knew me and everything. They knew me as Nels, you know, the character I played.
Right, everybody would see all the taxi drivers would honk and, oh, Nels.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're so right. And it's so true.
Were you able were you able to have a normal life, though? Do you think?
Did I have a normal? Yes, I think so. I didn't miss out on anything. I had a lot of fun. I really didn't.
Well, what happened after I Remember Mama, after that almost 10-year
stint? That was on for 9 years.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then that went off the air in 58. And while that was on, I did Mr. Roberts. Oh. I did The Male Animal. I was also in Broadway shows while I was doing I Remember Mama, you know?
Wow. Yeah, I guess maybe during the summer breaks and all that, you can do some shows.
Yeah. And that went on off the air in 1958.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did some shows, but then I came out to California in 1970, and I did 7 TV series out here, and I did every TV show there is to do.
Whoa! Do you remember some of them? I'm blanking. I mean, except obviously for 8 is Enough. But what were some of the others that you did that were series?
I did Love American Style.
Oh.
I Dream of Jeannie. Love Boat. I did every TV series there was.
Wow! So who are some of the great people you mentioned that you worked with? Extraordinary and amazing people. Who were some of the folks that really made an impression on you?
On TV, I worked with Don Adams, and Peggy Wood was the star of I Remember Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with Lutton Fontaine, you know,
right.
We spoke of before. And, I worked with a lot of people that weren't famous, and they became famous after I worked with them.
Oh, such as?
Kirk Douglas, Jack Lemmon. Jack Lemmon played a bit part in I Remember Mama. And so did Jimmy Dean, and amazing. They all became superstars.
Now, did you see that in them, like when you worked with Lemon, the week that you worked with Jimmy Dean, did you say to yourself, yeah, they're going to be so-and-so, or were they just another actor, a good actor?
I just thought they were other actors. They were very good at their part. But I didn't think they were going to become the big stars they became, you know? Although they were very good.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Monty Clift before he became a star.
Montgomery Clift?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Tallulah Bankhead, Frederick March.
Oh, well, come on. You have to tell me some stories about these people. You have to give us some anecdotes about what they were like, what they said to you, what you heard they did, something. Tell.
Well, in Tallulah Bankhead's book, she says, I never liked child actors. The only child actor I ever liked was Dickie Van Patten. Because you could read the racing form.
That's great. That's marvelous.
Frederick March was very nice to me. I was in 2 plays with him.
Uh-huh.
The American Way and The Skin of Our Teeth.
Whoa.
Very nice.
You were in the original production of The Skin of Our Teeth, the Thornton Wilder play.
That's right. It was the first play Elia Kazan ever directed. And it almost didn't get into New York. It was a big flop out of town. They didn't like it. They didn't like it in Baltimore or Washington, D.C. or New Haven or Philadelphia. And they got to New York and they got the Pulitzer Prize. It's funny, the difference between New York audiences.
Oh, yeah.
Out of town
audiences. Well, it's a strange play, though. I mean, I've never really been that taken with it. Yeah. I love Our Town. Our Town is one of the great plays ever. But I think he was reaching a little bit. But the New York audiences warmed to it. I guess as soon as it won the award, the audiences just said, okay, it must be great.
Moby Dick, Ulysses, War and Peace, the Bible. Big freaking deal. If you want to read a real book, a funny book, try Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, a collection of comedies by Dave Lefkowitz, me, the host of Dave's Gone By. Each play is stage-tested and relatively safe for public consumption. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available from Holvo Books on the Dave's Gone By website. It's the great American something.
Hi, this is Dick Van Patten, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
We're talking with Dick Van Patten, the one and only from 8 is Enough. So let's talk a little bit about your years on that show, since it's the one that you're most known for, that you're most recognized for. Do you remember how you got that part?
What, 8 is Enough, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Which one?
8 is Enough.
Oh. Well, I came out from New York in 1970. I came out here with a play, Elaine May wrote and directed a play called Adaptations Next. And then when it closed on Broadway, she sent me out here with it. And then when I was out here, I got offered some jobs. I've never gone back to New York. I sold my house back there. And I just did a whole bunch of series out here. I did the show called Arnie with Herschel Bernardi.
Oh.
I did another series called The Partners with Don Adams.
Oh, I remember that.
You
know, I was a little kid, and I like Get Smart, of course, and then that was his thing Get Smart. And I suddenly had a black partner, and I liked it, and it was on for about 3 weeks, and it was gone.
Rupert,
yes.
His name was Rupert Kaur. That's right. You remember? You're the only person I ever met that remembers that.
Well, I watched a lot of TV back then.
Yeah.
I liked it.
And then I did the new Dick Van Dyke show. I played Dick Van Dyke's boss.
Oh.
And then they put me in two pilots. One was called The Love Boat in 1975. And at the same month, they put me in Eight Is Enough pilot. Well, both pilots sold. And now ABC didn't know which one to keep me in. So I didn't care. I was just happy that, you know, I had a job. And they put me in Eight Is Enough. And then they recast somebody else in Love Boat.
Love Boat, which part were you playing?
I was the doctor, Bernie
Capel. Oh, Bernie Capel.
I'm the player, yeah.
Six Degrees of Get Smart, actually, in a weird way.
He was also, he played Sigmund in Get Smart.
Yeah, Siegfried, the evil,
Schmott!
So, again, then you got into Eight Is Enough, and did you realize, like, was that a hit instantly, or did it take a while to build and the network just stayed with it?
With Eight Is Enough?
Yeah.
No, I didn't think it was a hit immediately. First of all, we started with a woman called Diana Hyland. She played my wife, and she died after the third show.
Ooh.
So I thought that was going to be the end of the show. I thought they were going to cancel it. But instead, they wrote it into the show. They had me meet the new wife, and then she, I married her. But I can't think of her name now. Wasn't that awful? The one that played Abby.
Betty Buckley.
Buckley, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, geez, that awful. Anyway, she was very good, and the show was a big hit, so I was happily surprised.
Wow, yeah, and again, now instead of people...
Betty Buckley, isn't that awful?
Of course, well, I'm sure if you take 10 seconds, of course you remember. I mean, she's as big a star as anybody to come out of that show, of course. But now you have people, I'm sure, coming, talking out of restaurants or the cab drivers saying instead of Nels, they would call you, of course, by that. Did that ever get tiring? Did you ever, I wish I wouldn't be recognized. I wish I could just,
No, I don't mind. It goes with the game, it goes with the job. It doesn't bother me.
Huh. So you've been still working even past I imagine you wouldn't have to work anymore unless you really wanted to. So what have you been doing the past few years?
I just got through doing a movie. I just got through last week. A new movie that'll be out in about 5 months called Operation Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Called Operation Kids. Renee Taylor, what's his name?
Joe Bologna, her husband?
Joe Bologna's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Renee Taylor and, Paulie Shore.
Oh.
He's in it too.
Okay.
And me. And it's a funny picture. It's very good. I think it's going to do very well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I guess now you're at the point where you can pick and choose. I mean, you don't take everything that comes along. What makes you choose to do something?
Well, no, I like to work,
Good.
I'm not that picky. If I get a job, I take it. My mother told me when I was a kid, don't ever turn a job down. So I don't.
So the one thing is, I mean, thank God you sound good, you're healthy, but you have been living with diabetes for a while.
Yes.
Has that taken...
I have diabetes type 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, boy, it's a pain in the neck because I love sweets and I can't eat sweets anymore.
Oh. Well, don't they make enough stuff with NutraSweet and stuff like that, or is that even off the table?
Yeah, they have some stuff like that. It's not quite as good, though.
No.
I'd like to have a nice hot fudge sundae.
Well. Do you have to take shots every day, or how invasive is that in your life?
The diabetes type 2, you don't have to take the shots. It's not quite that bad.
Well, that's a big deal. That's good. So you're living with it, and it's a totally controllable thing, which is neat.
Right, uh-huh.
And also, By my estimation, you've been married more than 50
years.
How long?
53 years.
Mazel.
Do you remember the Jackie Gleason show?
Uh-huh.
The June Taylor, one of the June Taylor dancers.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you know she was the one? How did you realize, oh, well, that's the girl?
I was rehearsing in the show, I remember, Mama. We used to rehearse from 10 to 1. And then at 1 o'clock, Jackie Gleason would come in with the June Taylor dancers. So as I was going out, she was coming in. I saw her. I thought, gee, she's so pretty. So I started to talk to her, and one thing led to another.
And wow. And another and another, and 50 years later, 53
yeah.
years later. What?
Yeah.
I guess the wisest thing to ask you is not so much acting advice, but marriage advice. Do you have advice for people who want to keep their marriage going for 5 decades?
Well, I think there's a lot of luck involved, and I think you have to have a good sense of humor. And between the luck and the sense of humor, it'll work, you know?
That's great. That's cool. And how is your sister doing, by the way, Joyce Van Patten?
Joyce, that's my sister, yeah. She just got through doing a play up in the Birches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was doing a famous old-time play. I forget which one now.
Okay.
But anyway, she's back in New York. She gets more work in New York than she does out here. But she's been in the last 4 Neil Simon plays. He always uses her.
Oh.
He likes her a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Now, pardon me, do you see yourself ever doing live theater again? Or is it all...
Oh, sure.
Really?
Oh, I was out last year for a year doing Sunshine Boys.
With whom?
Me and Frank Gorshin. We were out for a year, then he passed away.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
very good.
Now, how was he to work with? I mean, everybody sort of gets the feeling, did he do impressions backstage, or was he just real quiet? And what was he like?
Oh, he was very, very good. And he used to do his impressions for me because I was a big fan of his. He was the best impressionist that ever lived.
Oh, wow. Now, do you feel that your acting style has changed over the years? I'm not saying like when you were a kid, but are you still, do you think, doing the same kind of stuff you were doing 30, 40 years ago, or has it morphed in some way?
I don't think it's changed much. I really don't. I think I'm doing the same thing. Just reacting the way people would, you know, the way people would react in real life. It's about the same to me, anyway.
Well, you've obviously done it really, really well, and it's worked great for you for so many decades. And I want to thank you so much, by the way, for appearing on the show.
Very nice talking to you.
You too. You too. And best of luck and best wishes to you.
Okay. Hope I see you sometime.
You got it.
MortgagesRocks.com, 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 MortgagesRocks.com. Online trading, it's free, it's fast. Needs no explaining, designed for your success. It's easy to be the bomb at MortgagesRocks.com. MortgagesRocks.com, 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 MortgagesRocks.com.
Ow, 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 I slipped a disc. That is, I slipped a disc into my CD player, and it's a Dave's Gone By CD. That's right, we have literally a couple of hundred Dave's Gone By episodes on compact disc for you to purchase and listen to anytime you want. They make a great gift, they're fun, they're funny, well, at least I think so. Find out more at my website, davesgoneby.org, and start listening to Dave and slipping your discs. Sponsor me, Dave's Gone By. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me. If you want to be successful, sponsor me, ladies and gentlemen. Dave's Gone By, the radio program. I want to also mention, by the way, I didn't say that we have a giveaway for folks who've listened to this show and who have enjoyed the Dick Van Patten interview. We've got a copy of Dick Van Patten's totally terrific TV trivia to give away. It's a cool little paperback book with literally hundreds and hundreds of trivia questions that are Trust me, we did one of these for Joe Franklin when he was on, and it's kind of the series that Square One Publishing has been putting out of trivia books. This is the Dick Van Patten, totally terrific trivia. Do you have time for what? I feel like Joe Franklin doing this. A trivia question. It's a little weird to try and find the answers in this thing because they move them away from where they are. But
no, they are where they are. They didn't move them away from. They moved them away from the questions. Maybe.
Let's see. Actually, I can ask the question, but I won't find the answer that easily. So,
well, ask the question. I know the answer. I'll give you the answer.
Okay. On Seinfeld, what is Elaine Bennis's middle name?
Sally.
No. And I can tell you that it's no, because the choices are Joanne, Marie, Ariel, or Jeannie.
Oh, it's Ariel for The Little Mermaid.
Now, unfortunately, it's kind of a weird way this is laid out. So it's hours of fun just trying to find the answers in the Dick Van Patten totally terrific trivia TV.
So it's not
book.
About Dick Van Patten.
No, he's just, they put his name on it, and his little bio is in the back, and a picture of him.
So what is Elaine Bennis's middle name?
I don't know. I
How can you find the answer?
Well, in other words, what they do is they have the questions listed, and then they have answers for other questions next to these trivia questions. So you got to go searching for the book.
So how do you find it out?
Well,
what's the doesn't it say answer on page so and so?
It says game 16 question 7 answer B. Oh, maybe that's it. I guess it's Marie. Where's game 16 question 8? Oh, I see. Wait, I guess this is no. I have no.
So
idea.
You read the book?
No, I have not. It's not a regal. It's a trivia book. It's a book of anyway. I don't have time for this.
Wait, I'll look for the answer.
Okay, Jeff's going to look for the answer while I do some housekeeping here. But anyway, if you want a copy of this easy to use, ever so simple Dick Van Patten trivia quiz book,
and it's
just
part of the BuzzTime trivia series.
That's right, the BuzzTime trivia series. Email me at davesgoneby@aol.com. davesgoneby@aol.com. The first email that I get after midnight tonight will win the book. We'll mail it to you, so make sure you include your snail mail address and name. And
it's only a $7.95 prize anyway.
Well, okay. You know, it's something. And it's a kind of a, instead of playing Trivial Pursuit, you can read the book. Anyway, let's get through some of the business stuff that we have to go through, including thanking our sponsors, Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings of Broadway, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners at Hewlett Minuteman Press, MortgagesRock.com, the place to get mortgages for yourself, or if you learn how to be a mortgage broker, you can get your friends and neighbors the loans that they need. It's all explained at MortgagesRock.com. And Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway for almost 65 years. Everything you need to know about what's going on the stages of New York. Find out more at PerformingArtsInsider.com. And finally, Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. 516-797-3229. 516-797-3229. Jeff, did you find the answer?
Well, I can't find the question, but the answers are so easy to find, Dave.
Yeah.
At the bottom is of the page, it says answers are in the right-hand boxes on page whatever.
Oh, okay, fine. Good. So find the...
So where was your question?
I don't know. Well, the question was about Elaine Bennis's middle name.
But where was it? You didn't.
It was. I think it was 16 8 or 8-16, something like that. It was number 8 somewhere.
16 on page 132.
The ever so easy to use Dick Van Patten trivia guide.
It would be easy if
I. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. I want to remind people, by the way, it's midnight, ladies and gentlemen. We're on WGBB Freeport, also live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com. You're listening to Dave's Gone By. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, finishing up the show here, and want to remind you of a couple of things of the big news that we told you earlier in the show. Bunch of big things. First of all, I'll be here next Saturday, or I should say this coming Saturday, at 9 o'clock, hosting the WGBB Fall Theater Preview Special. It's going to be all about the upcoming Broadway shows. We've got a bunch of them coming up in October and November. There's a new play by David Mamet. You've got Kevin Klein and Jennifer Garner appearing in Cyrano de Bergerac. You've got Claire Danes and Jefferson Mays appearing in Pygmalion, plus The Little Mermaid, plus, of course, Young Frankenstein, all that kind of cool stuff. Find out about it from 9 to 10 p.m. New York time next Saturday on this station I will be hosting. And, let's see, I will be back, of course, next Sunday with another episode of Dave's Gone By and another really, really neat and terrific guest. There are two guests that I'm balancing, so I'm not sure whether it's going to be one or the other. One wrote a marvelous book about going to the bathroom. Yes, he did an entire scholarly work about the history, usages, and the way societies have treated poop. And believe it, it's really quite wonderful. So check that out. That's going to be in either next week or the week after. And we're also going to be talking to Roberto Tirado. Now, people who were watching TV back in the late 1970s, early 80s, know that Roberto was part of the Channel 11 Action News team with Pat Harper and Jerry Girard, and Steve Bosch was the anchor back then. So Roberto was the weather guy, and so he's still been doing all that kind of stuff in various media. He's got a book that he's revising about the weather, and he's a really, really fun and interesting guy to talk to. I want to thank Lou Talano, who's appeared on this program, for hooking us up with Roberto. He's going to be a great guest. So he's going to be on either the next week or the week after on Dave's Gone By. Also, I'm going to tell folks and remind them that Dave's Gone By on TV will start airing October 5th on Long Island Cablevision of Woodbury, Channel 20, at 7:30 in the mornings on Fridays. It's a half hour of segments of the show. Sometimes there'll be actual footage from the studio of me and Jeff and whoever else is here, or sometimes there'll be really older shows going back years, and it'll be mostly audio with a couple of visuals thrown up to keep interest. But Friday morning, 7:30, starting in early October, for Dave's Gone By on TV, and of course, Shalom Dammit, the TV debut of Rabbi Saul Solomon. That starts Wednesday, October 3rd, 7:30 in the morning, also on Channel 20 on your Cablevision dials. And, as I said, right now, today, tomorrow, you can see, I think the first four episodes of the program are up already on YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com, type in Shalom Dammit, or Saul Solomon, and you can see all four episodes. They're in segments, because YouTube doesn't allow you to do whole half-hour things. So check them out, YouTube.com for Shalom Dammit, and then check it out on your TV. I think that covers all the big news and all the stuff.
I can't even find this question in this book. I don't think that question exists.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a whole section on Seinfeld. It's not even in there.
Well, I guess the first printing of the book. I guess maybe they'll fix the kinks in the second edition.
No, it's not that. Where did you get this stupid question from?
I don't know. Anyway, let me also...
Well, no. By the way,
yeah.
When George worked at Kruger Industries, what nickname did he want? Was it Art, Buck Naked, T-Bone, or Biff?
It was Art Vandelay.
No, Art Vandelay was the name he always used for other things.
Oh, so what was it?
That would be on page 155.
Yeah, let's see if you can find it. See if you can find it in the Dick Van Patten Totally Trivia Quiz Book.
George told his coworkers that he wanted to be nicknamed T-Bone.
Oh.
But another employee got the name instead. Irate, George began flailing his arms like a monkey, so he was given the name Coco. To get a new name, he hired a cleaning woman at work named Coco. He then renicknamed Grammy, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Buck Naked was his porn star name choice.
Very cool. Okay. I've got to get out of here in a couple of minutes or so. I want to say a couple of get wells and shout outs and things like that. First of all, get well soon to my uncle Lester, who's been going through some medical things that have been really, really kind of not nice at all. So I hope he's feeling a lot better.
Get well, Uncle Lester.
Yeah. And also,
by the way, Uncle Lester, if you want to get well, don't stay up till midnight listening to the radio.
That's right.
Well, I'm sure. Well, thank God he's home from the hospital. Let's just say that. And also, want to give a shout out to Drew Belting. He was the psychiatrist slash comedian who was on this program a few weeks ago, who was making it his business to get started and stand up by appearing in old age homes and assisted living facilities. And he just did, last week was the assisted laughing tour. And this was his itinerary. September 9th at the Kings Park Adult Home in Kings Park. September 10th, the Somerset Gardens. Then the Regency on the 11th. The Sterling Glen on September 12th. The Maryville Adult Home on September 17th. So Drew is just out there doing it. As he says...
maybe he can go talk to your uncle.
God forbid. Research suggests, says Drew, that humor comprehension declines with age. Of course, this turns out to be more of an issue when you stop aging. Anyway, Drew Belting, best of luck to him. Oh, and I forgot to remind people, you can see a bunch of Dave's Gone, hear a bunch of Dave's Gone By programs at theaterpod.com. That's theater.
How can we
are. Theaterpod.com, any time of day, 24/7. They're up there, 25 episodes of the show. Theaterpod.com. Also, you can watch episodes of Two on the Isle. It's a theater review program that stars Jeff Goodman, co-host, and Charlie Gross. And sometimes I'm on there, too. Another reason to go to YouTube, just log in the name Two on the Isle.
Dave?
Yeah?
Which 90210 character was the adopted son of a TV star?
Oh, I have no
was
idea.
It Steve Saunders, Dylan McKay, David Silver, or Jesse Vasquez?
David Silver. I have no clue.
Steve Saunders' mom, Samantha Christine Belford, appeared in the early series as a former star of the fictional TV sitcom Hartley House. Actor Ian Ziering, probably best known for his 90210 role as Steve Saunders, began his acting career doing commercials when he was a child.
Oh, okay. Anyway, that's all from the Dick Cavett... Dick Cavett! Wow, I'm tired. The Dick Van Patten... Totally a trivia quiz book. As I said, if you haven't emailed already, I don't have my email up, davesgoneby@aol.com. First person we get the email from will get a copy of the book free. So it's the totally trivia quiz book. Make sure you get those emails to me. Okay, we have to run, but I will be back. I'm hoping Jeff will also be back next Sunday, September 23rd, 2007, with the 239th episode of Dave's Gone By. We're going to go out with one more trivia question.
Good Morning, Miss Bliss inspired which spin-off show? Was it Dawson's Creek, Welcome Back, Kotter, Teachers, or Saved by the Bell?
Saved by the Bell.
Starring Haley Mills as teacher...
As teacher
Carrie Bliss. Good Morning, Miss Bliss was indeed intended to focus on the life of an inspiring teacher. The show was canceled after 13 episodes, but was spun off into Saved by the Bell afterwards.
Right.
Episodes of the first show were aired as episodes of the spun-off series.
Oh. Well, there you go. I did not realize.
Well, good morning, Miss Bliss.
Good morning. Well, good morning, everybody. It's 12:09 a.m. We have to leave. We'll be back next Sunday. But until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you good night. May your Friday night be an easy fast, and may your Saturday night be fast and easy.
Fasting easy.
Yeah, I
didn't get that at all.
Well, you don't have to. You just have to say...
This is Jeff Goodman saying gone by.
There's a magic in the early morning we found. When the sunrise smiles on everything around. It's a portrait of the happiness that we feel and always will. For it is enough to fill our lives with love. For we spend our days like bright and shiny new dimes. If we're ever bothered by the changing time, there's a plate of homemade wishes on the kitchen windowsill. And it is enough to fill our lives with.